It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Already tweeting online, follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Go to the website, thinkglink.com, T-H-I-N-K-G-L-I-N-K.com. Sign up for a free weekly newsletter. Get access to all the great content in the ThinkLink community. Lines are wide open. I'm going to start with mortgage rates, which I'm sure are on your mind because they jumped up the biggest one-week leap in 26 years. When we talk about historic low interest rates, we are now 1 percentage point. Just in 2 short weeks, we are 1 percentage point up in 2 weeks, which just goes to show you that nobody actually understands how the bond market works. And, well, maybe the bond traders do, but they don't understand why it moves. There is so much fear going on right now that the Fed is going to yank stimulus. And when they yank stimulus, that means, supposedly, in the world that is inhabited by these folks, that corporate profits are going to go down, and we see bonds going up, and there's just a whole lot of fear in the marketplace. So that translates into rising interest rates. The average 30-year fixed-rate loan, according to Freddie Mac, which publishes the weekly private mortgage market survey, or PIMS, rose to 4.46%. It was the highest interest rate in almost 2 years, and it was up from 4% the week before, up from 4%. In the short run, it's clear this is going to start to push people out of the housing market. It's not going to push out the people who are buying, investors who are buying with cash. And there's still a huge preponderance of people buying houses with cash out there. But first-time homebuyers are getting squeezed out of the market. They can't get approved fast enough at interest rates that are jumping as fast as they're jumping. So in 6 weeks, we've seen mortgage interest rates run up an entire percentage point, and we've seen them jump up just in the last 2 weeks, a half a percentage point. And so clearly we're going to see some shoppers getting out of the market, and other people are going to start to say, wow, I guess I should go get a loan or refinance or get a HELOC or whatever it is you're going to get. Now, tag team this with the rise in home prices, which were up more than 20% in San Francisco, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Atlanta, according to the S&P Case-Shiller data this week. 20% in Atlanta. This is no longer just the bottom rung getting rung out, and now we're into a math problem, right? Where for median home prices, it's the midpoint between the lowest sale and the highest sale, so the equal number of sales below that point and equal number above. It's no longer just that the bottom, you know, $12,000 houses are all off the market, so the median jumped up, although that's part of this. There are some signs in Atlanta and elsewhere that we are starting to see this dramatic rise in prices, and we're seeing it with bidding wars. What you want to watch out for is what's going on with pending home sales and what's going on with, and the reason you want to look at pending home sales is pending home sales are all about what appraises out in value. If it appraises out in value, it's going to close. And if it doesn't appraise out in value, then you have to bring cash to the closing, which is where first-time home buyers get squeezed. They don't have the cash. But investors don't care. They're piling money in, 4.6%. So where do we see mortgage interest rates heading? And I think the answer has to be that they're heading up. And we've talked about this for a really long time. We've talked about how I don't believe that we're going to see hyperinflation, right, and hyper high interest rates. I don't think we're going to see that. But I do think that we are seeing mortgage interest rates rise up to a place where they haven't been in a long time. We haven't seen mortgage interest rates this high in 2 years. Everybody has such a short-term memory now. It's as though it's never been anything other than 3.5%. And so we're going to have to re-educate ourselves, re-acclimate ourselves to how it feels to pay a little more towards our house. And I know that there are people out there lamenting that they didn't, you know, glom onto these rates when they could. And I feel bad. I wish you had. We kept talking about it. Unfortunately, this is really how it goes. This is really where mortgage interest rates start to move, and you think to yourself, wow, I really should have done something. The difference in pricing on 1% starts to get significant. Not significant in a big, long-term, lifelong sort of way, but significant when you're really making every penny count, you're really trying to get out there to buy a house. Do I still think it's a great time to buy? I do. I do think that there are opportunities out there, particularly in Atlanta. You ought to see what's going on in Chicago. There are opportunities, but the window is closing. And you know the window is closing because the Fed is starting to talk about withdrawing some, not all, some of its stimulus. $85 billion a month. And they're thinking they're going to do a pullback if the economy is strong enough. And the only reason they would even say that is they think the economy is stronger than it was, which is good news for everybody. But you got to get organized, and you got to get moving, and you got to figure out what it is you want to do. What's in your best interest? What are your hopes and goals and dreams? What are you going to do to turn this hope, goal, and dream into a reality? Get pre-approved. Take a look. Get your documentation together. Start looking at properties. Figure out where you want to be. There are still a lot of opportunities. And there are a lot of properties not moving, right? Condos in Midtown, not moving like single-family houses are. There are other problems with those buildings. The numbers of foreclosures, with the lack of reserves, with the number of renters. There's all kinds of problems in Midtown with units. Is that going to get fixed? It will get fixed. Slowly. Slower than what's going on out. Are you still seeing problems in Cherokee County? Yep. Places like Jonesboro? Yep. Are there opportunities? Absolutely. But there won't be opportunities in another 2 years. Not like these. So, before we turn this into a massive recrimination or everybody shuts off their radio and goes and runs out and tries to get a loan today, let's see what's going on with you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, thinklink.com. You can send questions to questions@thinklink.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @glink, and tweet during the show, @GLINK. Larry joins us on the line from Blairs Hill. Hey, Larry.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What are you doing today?
Oh, just riding around in this beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's very nice out, that's for sure.
Very good.
What's going on in your life?
Elise, I just have a quick question. I'm pretty upset with a particular credit card that I have regarding all the, you know, membership fees and all this other stuff they keep adding on to me, and I'm thinking about canceling the card totally. I've had it for over 30 years, and it's just gotten to the point it's not even worth keeping anymore.
Have you called the customer retention department and said to them, I'm a 30-year customer, you really don't want to lose me, what have you got that doesn't have membership fees?
Yeah, well, they really don't have anything. And, I mean, it's, you know, almost all the cards now have some kind of rewards program, and this particular card, which might identify it, but I mean, they even charge you to be a member of their rewards program, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, you know.
What is the card?
American Express.
So you can call American Express and ask for customer retention, and you can actually ask them to switch your account to one of the American Express cards that doesn't have a fee. There are lots of American Express cards that don't have fees and don't charge you for their rewards program. And they will do that, and then your account carries. Because here's the thing, Larry. When you've had a card for 30 years, you really don't want to take that off your credit history. You just don't. It's a huge, it's a huge chunk of what your credit is, the longevity of these kinds of accounts. And when you shut that down, that longevity goes away. And it can profoundly impact, depending on how many other lines of credit you have open, it can profoundly impact what your credit history and credit score look like. So I guess the next question for me to ask you is, how many other credit cards do you have, and how long have you had those credit cards?
I just have one other card that I've had for 10 or 12 years, but I have no other lines of credit at all. I just don't have any bills, don't have any house payments, car payments, nothing.
Well, that's really great, but you need this 30 years of credit history would be very helpful to keep open. And so I think what you want to do before you throw up your hands, and because I do believe there's going to be an impact to your credit history and credit score, and you might say to me, Elise, I don't care anymore. I don't need to buy another house. I don't need to buy a car. If I buy it, I'm paying cash. I don't really care. And if that's you, Larry, then maybe it doesn't matter. But in the interest of preserving the history that you have built up over 30 years of on-time payments and not carrying debt and all the rest, I would call up American Express and say, you know, customer retention, I'm a little tired of paying all these fees after all these years, and I'm thinking about switching my card. What do you have that in a different type of a card where I could switch my account and keep my account active with you after 30 years, but not pay these fees? And see what they say.
Yeah, I will do that, and I appreciate the comment. I am thinking, I'm at the point almost of buying a piece of land and building a house, which most of it will be cash, but I am going to have to borrow, 25 or 30 just to get me through the construction period. And then after that, I really probably wouldn't have a loan balance even on the house, but I didn't want initially the card, when I'm so close to that, I didn't want to cancel the card and have a negative ding against me, you know, that might affect.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to do it. And here's a tip for you.
All right.
So HELOCs have become very popular again, home equity lines of credit, and they're getting more popular as people have equity in their house. So I assume in your current residence, you own it and you've got, it's paid off, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So what I would do, you won't be able to borrow money on vacant land. But, and you could get a construction loan based on what you need to borrow and what the house will be worth. And really, very few lenders will do that kind of a loan for $30,000. They just won't. It's too much work for too little money. But,
Okay. But
you could get a HELOC on your current residence. And if you get a home equity line of credit on your current residence, that should be a pretty easy deal for you. And getting $30,000 on a HELOC is a good amount, $50,000 if you feel like you need a little bit extra, and you can borrow that. Now, when you do that, I actually would try to get it. I don't know, how much is your? Do you think your current residence is worth?
Oh, I don't know, $200,000 maybe.
Right. So what I would try to do is get a home equity line of credit for somewhere between $50,000 and $75,000 because you only need $25,000. And when you borrow money on a HELOC and you use all of it, it looks as though 100% of the available credit line has been tapped. And that's a ding against your credit history and credit score, even though you're going to pay it back. It doesn't matter. It's simply the fact that it's treated like revolving credit. It's the same as if your credit card had a $20,000 limit and you paid for $20,000 worth of stuff, and now you're carrying a balance of $20,000, which maxes out your credit limit. You get that same negative impact. So I want you to be super smart about this so that you understand, you know, and make the most of the credit that you have, which you've obviously built up over 30 years. All right? Thanks so much for your call, Larry. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your questions and also talk about this jump in mortgage interest rates this week. They've increased 0.5% just in 1 week. It was the biggest jump in 26 years. years. The days of a 30-year rate at 3.5% are gone, and the 15-year rate on mortgages rose to 3.5%, which is the highest rate since August of 2011. How is this going to affect you? We will talk about the numbers, which is always my favorite part when we come back. Stay tuned to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, here on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com at midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, and we're starting with yours. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Have you joined me on Twitter yet? You should, at Glink. I even have a Pinterest account and a G+. So many ways to connect, and there's lots of great free information at thinklink.com, where I encourage you to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Don't forget to do that. It's on every single page of the website. All right. It is 36 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Al joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Al.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. What are you thinking about today?
I am thinking about I waited too late. I've been recently pre-approved for a new home, but I'm finding just what you're seeing, what you were talking about there, just these bidding wars, and I'm wondering, what strategy or approach would you take if you were trying to buy right now?
So I think one of the things you have to do, are you a first-time buyer?
No, I'm not. This will be my second home. I'm actually my second home.
Your second home? Is this a vacation home you're looking for, or is this like you're going to live in it full-time?
Oh, living it full-time.
Okay. And so what's been keeping you from pulling the trigger? Like all this time that you've been sort of watching and waiting, did you think it was just going to go down? Were you not really ready sort of internally to make the move? What's been going on? How long has this been stretched out?
Wasn't really ready internally to make the move. And then I just said, oh, you know, no time like the present. Let's just go ahead and do it. And I'm just finding now that where I want to live, what I'm looking for, you know, instead of there being one or two competitors, there are 15, 20, and then there are all these investors with suitcases full of money.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's annoying, too. So there are a couple of strategies here. First of all, you have to find property before it even goes on the market. And one of the ways to do that, and you're going to think I'm nuts, but one of the ways to do that is to blanket a neighborhood that you're interested in with personal letters asking people if they're interested in moving. What you might find, and this is a really aggressive tactic, but you may find that there are people who have actually been thinking about moving and just haven't gotten off the ball yet, who would be much happier to sell to you without an agent and without the home ever hitting the market, because they're going to save money too.
Okay.
So this is not really a money-saving strategy in a net-net, because the sellers think they're going to keep the extra 6%. But for you, you might actually get to buy a house without a bidding war.
Gotcha.
So you have to really to do that successfully, you have to really understand where price points are, what people are getting, what they should be getting, and all the rest. Another aggressive strategy is to take a look on Zillow in your neighborhood. Zillow, and to a lesser extent Trulia, allows sellers to go on and put up all kinds of information about their houses and to put in a dream price, the price that they would sell if somebody actually made an offer. Now, I don't necessarily think you should pay $2 million for a $200,000 house, but just the simple fact that somebody was willing to put that up on Zillow indicates to me that they might be more open than you imagine to an offer.
Okay.
So you can go around that way, and then you write a personal letter and do that. And then the third thing to do, I know it seems incredible, but there are still people who are going through bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, and those properties are harder for investors. They're harder because they're a very long turnaround time, and you may or may not get the house at the end of it. That would be a strategy for you. And then the final thing is I would go to HUDHomestore.com, which is where all the FHA foreclosures are listed. And there are still like tens of thousands of FHA foreclosures that are listed there, and home buyers who are going to live in these homes get first dibs typically. Now, I don't know what neighborhood you're looking at, but every neighborhood in Georgia has HUD homes for sale.
Okay.
So you need a HUD-certified agent to help you make an offer, because you make offers online with these properties.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good way to go. And I am talking about, you're hearing me list these four things, and I do talk about these in my intentional investor webinar series, because they are aggressive. It's a lot of work. It's much harder than it was 2 years ago to buy a great house in a great neighborhood. There's no question about it. The rise in interest rates should help a little bit, but it won't help you with the investors who don't need the they don't need to borrow money.
Right.
So, if you're willing to do the work, I think you're going to find something.
All right, sounds good. I'll try those.
All right.
If you find a suitcase full of money, let me know.
If I find a suitcase, I'm going to let you know. Just as soon as I let my husband Sam know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for calling in. Let me know what happens. It's 11:41 on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Joe joins us on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. You sound a little bit crackly. What's going on with your phone?
Just hold on. Give me one second.
Oh, that's much better. Wherever you are, don't move.
Okay. Well, I'm pulling in the driveway now. But my question to you, Elise, is, I've got a rental house, and should I sell it or should I keep it?
Oh, you should meet Al, depending on what neighborhood it's in. You can't just ask me that question blindly. I don't know. Tell me a little bit about your situation.
Well, I mean, I've got great renters in the house right now.
You making money on them?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And they've been there for 2 years now. And they are going to stay for another 2 to 3 years. And, you know, I spoke with my real estate agent a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, in the county that we live in, there's no inventory. And so she's like, you know, if you want to sell it, it's a great time. You know, she said that we could probably move it within a couple of months. But with the renters being there for another 2 to 3 years, should I hold on to it? And they're great renters. I mean, I have zero problems. Never late. House probably looks better now than when we lived there.
Well,
so,
why would you want to get rid of these tenants? You're making money on the property. The property is going to be worth more in 2 or 3 years than it is today, unless we have another massive crisis, in which case your renters will probably stay there another 2 or 3 years because you're a good landlord and you leave them alone. And so, unless you're telling me that this house is a chunk of cash and you've got a better use for it. So what do you dream about at night doing with the money you're going to take from this house after you pay the recapture and after you pay whatever taxes you're going to pay on it? What are you going to do with the money?
I don't need the money. So.
So.
I mean, well, yes, I mean, we all need money, of course.
No.
But
what are you going to do? I mean, if you sell, you're going to have a pot of money where if you put it in a bank, it's going to earn 0.5%. Isn't your return on investment better in this house?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm asking, what are you dreaming about doing with the money? Because the only reason I could see to get rid of this is either you're moving somewhere else and don't want to be a long-distance landlord, so totally valid reason, or two, you have a better idea of what to do with the cash.
No, I don't really have anything better. I mean, I could reinvest it, but I don't think that's a wise investment to sell something that I'm making money on. And I guess that's why I called you.
Well, okay, so chalk me down for the obvious, but
okay.
I, if it were me and I was making money on it, I'd be happy. They're taking great care of the property. It looks better than when you bought it. They like you. They're set for another 2 to 3 years. I assume you have some modest increase in the amount they're paying. This is a good thing.
Perfect. Okay.
Be
well,
happy.
My wife and I were just,
go be
oh, yeah,
happy.
Yes. I mean, we're happy. I mean, we bought a new house 2 years ago, and, we looked at 79 houses before we, I guess I don't jump into things, and, I try to do all the research I possibly can do.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it sounds like you've done it the right way. You bought 2 years ago. That was at the low. you know, we look back and we go, that was clearly at the low. If you needed a loan, you got a great rate. Now you've got this house, and you've got renters who are long-term renters taking care of the property for you. Who knows? Maybe they'll buy it from you someday. And in the meantime, your money is making money, which a lot of people can't say at the moment.
Perfect. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
I will. You do the same, Joe. It is 45 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Margie joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hey, Margie.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm very grateful to talk to you. I've waited a long time, but it'd be worth it. About 9 years ago, I co-signed for my grandson for Georgia Tech loan.
Uh-huh.
And my credit at that time was 795. I'm 78 now. My husband just passed.
Oh, however, I'm sorry. When was that?
March 24th.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. But my grandson, he's really ruined my credit. He's lax in keeping the payment on time, but he pays it. And my credit went down to 516, but it's slowly creeping up to the 650s. And I also have a tenant that pays about 500 a month. I'm living on 1700 a month plus the payment, which it takes care of everything. And do you think I should refinance them at 4.5 now? I bought it foreclosed at 92. It was 129. I have 83 left.
No, I don't think you should refinance, because if you refinance, you're at 4.5. That's probably what you'd pay anyway right now.
Okay.
But, Margie, your grandson is a problem. So
I can't hear you, hon.
Your grandson is a problem. Have you had a conversation with him about...
No, he won't answer my question. He's a physicist, by the way.
He has brain, but no
other sense.
Okay.
No, he won't answer me, and he was the sweetest kid in the world.
What do you mean he won't answer you? Have you gone... Is he living nearby?
No, California.
And have you talked to his parents?
No. Yeah, he has, and they ball him out. He'll pay the loan 2 or 3 days after it's due.
He doesn't understand about credit.
Very lax.
So you have to, it's time for somebody to read this kid the Riot Act. I understand.
Oh, we have. My brother in New Jersey says, tell him I'll go out there and break his knees, you know.
Well, maybe the brother is the one who should say that to the physicist. Somebody ought to pay the physicist a visit and say, hey, guys, you know, this is awesome that you can pay your bills, but if you don't pay them on time, you have really lousy credit, and you're ruining your grandmother's credit, and it's a point of pride for her, even if she never has to use it again. It's time for you to grow up, and we love that you're a genius physicist, but you have to live in the real world just like the rest of us. And this was a favor that your grandmother did for you, and you're blowing it back in her face. So on top of being completely inconsiderate, you're being a moron, and you're setting yourself up for a lifetime of trouble because you can't manage to put this on a auto pay, auto debit, where you don't have to think about it at all, and it just pays it on time every month. Get with the program, son, and this might be setting him up for a direct deposit for a guy who's, clearly has brains but no common sense, might be the best Christmas gift. And I think that's what you should wrap up for him, for sure. 48 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Rebuilding America, one house at a time, on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com. And find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
No, 55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation, and for sure you're missing what I put in my coffee this morning. So, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and go to thinklink.com for more great information about real estate. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jimmy joins us on the line from McDonough. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
What's going on?
First-time caller.
Okay,
I'm a little
welcome.
Bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Okay.
We're very polite on the show.
I'm one of the people that you mentioned earlier that didn't jump on the bandwagon and get these great interest rates, and really kicking myself for it now. But I wanted to ask you, I've been noticing here recently, even this weekend, there's been some advertisement on companies, I don't know if I can say their names, of 2.875% on a 10-year. What I'm wondering is, they say no closing costs, no fees, guaranteed to lock it in. Is there really no closing cost?
So there may be no closing cost. 10-year rates, short-term rates have not moved as much as the long-term rates. So a 15-year rate is still available at 3.5%.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So it's moved up to about 3.5%, but you may even be able to get it at 3.25%. It's the 30-year rates that have really jumped.
That's really jumped. Okay.
So I would, you know, in fact, on my Money Watch story this week at CBS News, I talked about what was going on. And it's really interesting because you're seeing a real disparity in the 30-year and the 15-year rate. So the 30-year rate went from 3.98% to 4.46%. Basically about 0.5%.
Yeah.
But the 15-year rate also went up, not quite 0.5%, but from 3.04 to 3.5%.
Okay. So that's
still,
what it was.
It's still 3.5. Yeah. It was 3.04, now it's 3.5%.
Yeah.
And a week before that, it was in the 2% range.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that a 10-year loan would be under 3%. But those will be the next ones to start to move.
Okay.
So if you need me to say to you, get off the couch and go move this week, I'm here it is. I'm telling you, get off the couch and go move. Because remember, while interest rates may come down a little bit, they may not come down a little bit. Or they may bounce down and you may miss it. Nobody ever won by timing the market. If it turns out that this reverses and the economy is taking a dive again, mortgage interest rates are going to come down. You can refinance at that point in time. But if you need a 10-year loan, go get a 10-year loan tomorrow. Really, don't wait anymore. It's time to move. It's 11:58 on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey, it's 12:07. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We've been chatting online about coffee today. You can follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We're already tweeting on, tweeting. We're pinning things on Pinterest, G+. There's all kinds of cool stuff going online. If you want to know where we play, the best thing to do is to go to my website, thinkglink.com, and to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. And every week in the newsletter, actually it's twice a week now, we will send you links to all the different free content that we put out, whether it's CBS News or Yahoo or the Equifax Finance blog. Wherever it is, we're going to share where it is. And that way you'll stay on top of all this great free content that we have going out into the ThinkLink community. So we were talking earlier about mortgage interest rates, and we're going to get back to the phones in just a moment. But I did promise that I would show you how these big leaps that we've seen. This was the biggest leap last week in the 30-year rate in 26 years. Went up to about 4.5%. It's really a stunning leap in 1 week. We haven't seen these interest rates in a couple of years now. It's the highest they've been since 2011. And by the way, let's just say in 2011, we thought these were amazing interest rates. So a little perspective is helpful. Excuse me. But how are you going to be hurt with such a big leap in interest rate? Because you have to really understand, now that we're up about 1% over where we were at 3.5%. Now we're at 4.5% for a 30-year rate. 15-year rate is still at 3.5%. So that's great. Get them while they're going. But if you have a $165,000 loan with a 30-year rate, when it was at last week's 3.93% rate, it would cost you about $786 a month, excluding taxes and insurance premiums. But with the new rate, it jumps to $832 a month. So it's about a $46 a month increase. That adds up, if you kept this loan for the life of the loan, over the 30 years, you'd pay an extra $16,560. If you have a $300,000 loan, that rate increase adds to an extra $92 a month, or $33,000 and change, over the life of the loan. So there is a possible rush to buy property now that it looks like interest rates are going up. And I don't know why everybody always waits until they go up and then they start to move. But anyway, are they going to go higher? Undoubtedly. Remember, the reason that mortgage interest rates have been this low is that the economy has been and remains, for most of it, in perfectly awful shape. This resurgence, right? It's not that everybody is making $30 million a year like some CEOs. The reality is that on a net basis, real incomes are basically not up in 20 years. And expenses are. Just look at gas prices, food prices, insurance prices. So our daily cost of living is going up. Our incomes are pretty much flat. That's not, and if you have a job, right? I just met with somebody who's been out of work for over 2 years. I know somebody else who's been out of work for over 3 years. It's not fixed. We're not fixed yet. So mortgage interest rates are going up because the bond market senses that the free money from the Fed is over. And so that's what's happening here. If you need a loan, go get one now. If interest rates go down in 6 months, guess what? You can refinance at that point in time. This is where having great credit really helps out. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Valerie joins us on the line from Lilburn. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Elise. How are you today?
I'm great. What can I do for you?
Well, I was hoping you could give us some advice on whether or not this is a good idea to pursue. I have a lead on a woman who is behind on her mortgage, and she wants to work out a deal where my husband and I and my family, we would be able to move in where she would quit claim deed us the house, and then we would make direct mortgage payments to the mortgage company. We understand that we would not be on the mortgage. We really don't want it on our credit right now, but we would be able to help her save a foreclosure on her credit. We would have a place to live, and it would cut our family's expenses basically in half or more to do this move. And we wanted to find out if there's any other questions we should be asking, if you thought it was a good idea.
Well, do I think it's a good idea? It might be a very good deal for you. It's not such a good deal for her.
Uh-huh.
She's basically would do this, and it would be in violation of her loan. So she's separating out. The house is collateral for the loan, and she's separating those two things out. And she's trusting that you're actually going to make the payments. It's actually kind of stupid on her end.
Okay, because we had planned on calling the mortgage company and kind of doing a conference call to find out if this would all be a possibility in that way.
Is the loan assumable? Is it an FHA loan?
I'm not sure yet. We really just started this process in a conversation on Friday evening after business hours.
Uh-huh.
And so it would probably be Monday or Tuesday before we would have an opportunity to speak with the mortgage company. And she wants to go back to Texas and live with her mother who's ill.
So buying this house outright from her would be the best move. Is she underwater with the loan?
She is. There's about $71,000 left on the mortgage, and she's about 3 or 4 months behind
okay.
in the payment.
So there are some real complications here.
Okay.
If she rents the house to you, well, she's going to try and sell the house to you, but She's selling the house. So when I ask you if she's underwater, that means it's the house is worth less than the mortgage amount. Is that the case?
It might be. But what we were also looking to do was set up a lease, like a lease with option to purchase,
mm-hmm.
rather than doing an outright purchase.
So you don't need the lender's approval for that. But if she's 4 months behind, the lender mm-hmm. could put her in foreclosure at any moment.
Uh-huh.
So are you in the position to bring her current on the loan? Because that's the and then start making those payments directly to the lender, because that's the only way that you can be assured that this house won't come out from under you.
Right. We were talking about discussing some kind of payment plan with the mortgage company to get it caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
well, you're not a party to this. So here's the problem with you and this woman...
Uh-huh.
Who you want to do the right thing, and it doesn't seem like it's going too well. Here's what I would suggest. I think what uh-huh. you really want to do is buy this house from her outright.
Uh-huh.
And you want to get a mortgage for the
$71,000,
uh-huh. and you want to be done with her. And you want to control this. And as part of it, if she's underwater, you're going to have to at least pay the $71,000 that the mortgage company wants.
Uh-huh.
And then... you get a loan for $71,000. Hopefully the house is actually worth more. And if it isn't, then you're going to have to bring a little bit of cash to this. But you should try and do this in a very clean way where you literally buy this house and send this woman out, because that's really what she wants. She wants to move to Texas and be done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to live in this house, and it sounds like this is a great deal.
Okay.
So are you in a position to buy this house?
Not... currently, we had some other plans where if it would be possible to do the lease and then just get her current as far as the mortgage is concerned and then live in it for a short time and save up. Because like I said, it's going to cut our living expenses in half. And if we were able to get ourselves in a position where we would be able to move on at a later time or even maintain the house, and then be able to use it or have the ability to buy it out later or have the ability to move on to another piece of property, but not necessarily have $71,000 tied up on our credit right now.
I guess I don't understand what else is going on with you. Tell me what else is going on. There's something.
Well, my husband and I are self-employed. And so we also don't have the 2 years of self-employment, you know, IRS.
Okay, you don't have the paperwork to qualify for this particular mortgage.
Exactly. And so if we had the ability to lease it for a couple of years and then, you know, keep the house even, just lease it for a couple of years, get in a better financial footing so that at a later time we could pay off the mortgage, keep the property, and also be able to do some other investing as well, property-wise, that we were wondering if this would even be a good option to pursue.
So really what you have to do is you have to get the lender on the phone and say, lender, we want to do a lease with an option to purchase. We want to get this loan current. What can you do in terms of payments? We'll pay you directly. Would that be acceptable to you, or do you feel like you need to put this house in foreclosure?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you need to do. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure it's going to work out for you because lenders just want their money.
Right.
So,
right.
And you're a third party and they don't know who you are, and they might say, well, just buy this house. And then you're going to have to say, well, I don't know if we qualify for it. So
right.
I know that there are a lot of possibilities here. I'm just not sure that you're going to get the result that you want. But it seems like you should be able to work something out. My guess is you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're probably going to need an attorney to help kind of be the broker with the lawyer. And you're also going to need some pretty sticky paperwork because you need a lease with an option to buy with a current purchase price that this woman signs that you can hold her to. And what happens if she just disappears in Texas altogether? There are a whole lot of mines, landmines here. Obstacles that you really need to think through, and I think an attorney would really help with that. And I appreciate you wanting to make it right and that you're going to save money, but the first thing that's going to happen is if you don't bring this loan current, the lender is going to foreclose because they need these houses because they're selling like crazy now, and the lender may just simply say, we can probably get more if we sell this house outright. And so there's going to be a problem here with trying to make it work. So I wish you luck, Valerie, but you're going to have to, I think, do a little bit more work. And I would talk to an attorney before you call the lender. It's 18 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. We've got a prize pack coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB. 25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. We have a prize pack to give away. It's our McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack for... What is it? The prize value, $194. It includes a pair of tickets to the All-American Celebration with the ASO, Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, July 5th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents, and a pair of tickets to see Gypsy Kings in concert August 9th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, also produced by ASO Presents. We'll give it away to the fifth caller to the prize pack line, 404-741-0750. Good luck. Be nice to Crystal. She's taking your call today. It's 26 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. All right. So we just have a minute or so, and I want to go back over our last caller just for a moment. So Valerie, I felt like Valerie got a little bit of a short shrift at the end when I realized that she and her spouse are both self-employed. They're newly self-employed. My guess is they were terminated during the Great Recession, and they couldn't find jobs, and they decided to start their own businesses. So they don't qualify to buy a house. When you are self-employed, you've got to be self-employed for at least 2 years. 2 years of tax returns plus a P&L to show. And that's pretty tough. Now, for a $71,000 mortgage, even at today's slightly higher interest rates, and let's say they do a $75,000 loan just to get back in full, they don't need to show that much income, right? They need to show about $30,000, $40,000, maybe not even that much, of income together to be able to afford that. It's totally affordable. And I stand by my original advice, which is she should try and buy this house outright today if the lender will let her. And if not, she should try to scrape together as much cash as she can. And if not, they should try and get the lender back to zero so they're on time with that payment and then have a very detailed contract with the owner of the property to be able to buy it down the line. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Blake. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB. Welcome back, everybody. It's 12:35 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750. You are not following me on Twitter. You should be at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and check out what's going on Money Watch. Some really good stories this week, all of which I think would be very entertaining for you. I'll try and tweet out some of those links a little bit after the show today. All right, let's go to the phones. Ron joins us on the line. Hey, Ron, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What can I do to help?
I served a, well, I didn't serve it. I've got a, at the end of the question, I want to know how valid and legal a text message is as far as a tenant moving out of state. She abandoned some furniture, clothes, personal items, and asked a magistrate about it. And she said, you've got to serve some other kind of notice. She said, you're going to have to go through the eviction process to make sure that she's been notified and all the legal that way. But I've got this a 1 month advance vacation notice, vacating, and then I have these text messages that says she is out of the state and living in Myrtle Beach.
And when does her lease officially end? I'm sorry, when?
Today, until June 30th.
Well, if her lease ends today, June 30th, I'm not sure why you would need to evict her because the lease is over and she's vacated the apartment.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, on doubly protected, is a text message illegal?
I'm not a lawyer, Ron, so I don't know. In this case, if a text message would be legal notice for you.
Uh-huh.
It does seem, though, that she has vacated on the day that She was supposed to. Her lease was up. So I'm not sure why. Why did you feel like you needed to call the magistrate?
Just that I wanted to go in and begin cleaning, and she said he'll be trespassing, and she would have a legal right if anything were to be broken or she thought stolen or anything like that.
And did you text back your tenant and say, hey, by the way, you left stuff behind, and what do you want me to do with it?
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
And what did she do?
Oh, golly, I forget what it was right now. She just said, go ahead. She said, give it to Goodwill, I think, something along those lines.
So she basically gave you permission to get rid of the things that were in the property that she abandoned.
That's right.
So I don't think you're calling. So really what you were trying to do was get free legal advice by calling the magistrate, and what you did was get confused.
Yeah, she said, go talk to an attorney.
Right.
but she said that.
So you called me, who you know is not an attorney.
Well, you're just as good, dear.
Oh, well, that's nice. I don't think my husband, who is really an attorney, would agree. But I would say to you that, you know, if this is the end of your lease,
mm-hmm.
and she has now told you she's moved out, she's told you, written you to say, you know, I don't want any of my stuff, do what you want with it.
Yeah.
I think she would have a very hard time to come back 6 months from now going, what do you mean you got rid of my stuff?
Yeah, right.
But,
right.
I, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to make this legal advice, but I think that, do you have lawyers who look at your leases before you sign them?
Kinda.
You know, you're cheaping out on legal advice. I can tell it. You are.
But if this is the last day of the lease, it was a one-year lease, and it began last year, June, the lease is over.
The lease is over, and she's abandoned. What does your lease say about abandoned property?
I'll get back with you on that.
You don't even read your own leases. Ron, all right, you're getting your fingers slapped here because... I got to tell you, you got to read. You're not even reading the paperwork you're signing by the sort of lawyer that you've sort of used to sort of give you advice on all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
You will get yourself into trouble at some point in time if you don't actually shape up on the legal side. So here's the deal. You probably escaped this time. You may not be so lucky next time. Please read your lease, see what it says about abandoned property and the end of the lease. And if it doesn't say, listen, at the end of the lease, if you leave stuff behind, it goes. Your next lease for that property should say that, and you should really have a real estate attorney spend an hour or two of time to make sure it says it in a way that protects you, and you should ask these sorts of questions so that you know, are protected, because you'd really hate to come back and get sued because you didn't spend $150 to have an attorney look at the paperwork, right?
First thing in the morning.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Elise.
You're welcome. Let me know what happens. 41 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Eddie joins us on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. So what's your issue today?
Well, I'm having an issue trying to decide if I should refinance or not.
Okay, what's the issue?
Well, basically, I bought my house 3 years ago, and it was about $49,000.
Okay.
And my current interest rate is 4.875. It's a 30-year loan.
Okay.
And I was thinking of going to a 15-year loan at this particular time.
All right.
I'm not 100% sure if I should go ahead and make the switch to a 15-year loan right now or pay extra on the 30-year loan to make it a 15-year loan.
So the 30-year loan is about 3.5%, assuming you have good credit, and I assume you've been paying all your bills on time.
Yes.
The biggest issue you're going to face is that lenders don't really like to do loans for less than $50,000.
Uh-huh.
But, and you also have to understand if your property is actually in the positive territory. So do you have equity in the home?
No.
So then refinancing is somewhat difficult, right? Because interest rates are kind of where they are right now for you without any equity in the property. Are you sure the property hasn't increased in value?
No, it's pretty flat. I mean, the houses around here have been selling for less than what I bought my house for.
Wow.
For instance, there's a house right next door to mine that sold last year for $35,000.
Wow.
One down the street that sold for, I believe it was like
$43,000. All right, so you're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And your interest rate is at 4.875. Mm-hmm. I think you should shop around and see if you can get anybody through the HARP program.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically, I don't really think I consider myself underwater because I bought it at a good deal. I'm not really losing anything.
Eddie, listen to me. You're underwater. Your loan is, I'm sorry. I have to just jump in and disabuse you of this fantasy you're living in.
Sure, okay.
The loan is $49,000. Uh-huh. Houses in the neighborhood are selling for $35,000.
Uh-huh.
That means you're underwater. The house is worth less than the loan amount.
Okay.
That's all that there is to it. You have no equity in this house.
Right.
So that means, are you not connecting the dots here?
I connected the dots 100% now.
Got it. All right, so the only refi that would be available to you unless you're bringing $10,000 or more to the table is a HARP refinance, and I don't actually think you would get it for much less than the 4.875, but maybe you would, and so you should shop around. The HARP refinance probably would not allow you to refinance to a 15-year, but then again, it might. So go ask the question and see if you're actually eligible for a HARP refinance, and if you are, if you could do the 15-year, and if you are, great. And if you're not, your second plan of double paying to start bringing building some equity is a great one.
Uh-huh.
And I love that.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, I think I'll take that advice then.
All right.
The only thing is that I understand that if I leave it at 30 years compared to 15 years, I'll pay that much more money in interest.
You will.
And I don't want to pay that much more money in interest. I want to get rid of that extra money towards interest.
I think that's noble and wonderful. So prepaying on your mortgage is a great way to do that if you're not eligible to refinance. Believe it or not, someday you're going to go 4.875. I'm loving that rate. It's great by comparison.
Okay.
All right? Go for it. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Richard joins us on the line. Richard, you've got a problem that I haven't heard about in a really long time.
Yes, ma'am. My wife and I, back in December, actually started looking in Sonoya at a major builder down there, and went through one of their prime lenders. We had a few issues on our credit. We knew that going into it, but we were prepared to do the work that we needed to do to get it taken care of. Well, the mortgage representative that we were dealing with basically kept telling us, no worries, everything's fine, I've got this under control, you know. The builder has built the house. I have a house standing in Connecticut for me, and it was all on her word, basically.
You never got anything in writing. So my understanding of your question is you were guaranteed or promised a loan at 3.5%. She never locked in the rate. 3.25% for a 30-year, and she never locked it in.
And she never locked it in. We went back. My wife wrote a letter to the CEO of the mortgage company. They took it back. That they were going to work on getting the issues that we knew about taken care of off the credit report, so that they were going to try and run it through a automated system and then go to their manual, which we knew would have to go to the manual underwriter. They turned around and said that it didn't go through automated. We're not going to manually underwrite it, and that's it. So basically, they washed their hands of having any responsibilities to us for the interest rate. In the meanwhile, we had another company take a look at it, approved us. We're locked in at a 4.5% interest rate right now, which we had to grab the best that we could at the time. But I just feel like we were so just, I've never felt like I've been taken advantage of like this before in my life. And I called every day for 30 days trying to see what the mortgage rate was to make sure I was getting, you know, the best value. Finally locked it in. The mortgage representative came down. We met with the builder.
Did you ever get it in writing?
She never put it in writing.
So, Richard, you and your wife, for as much as you thought you were doing, you were putting your effort in the wrong place. Because
yes,
without having anything in writing, you have nothing. She She's not. You should file a complaint with the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance against this company.
Yes, ma'am.
And you should absolutely talk to the ombudsman about the conversations back and forth. But without anything in writing, without making a formal application and having them pre-approve it like this other company did, you had nothing. You thought you had everything.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
You had nothing. And
yes,
so,
ma'am. And honestly, we understand that we're pretty much done for as far as that goes. I've accepted my medicine. The mortgage company we're dealing with now actually played a prank on us the day after we locked in at 4.25 and told us that it dropped to 3.75, and I about died.
What kind of sick guys do that? That's kind of sick. I have to tell you, it's not funny. I wouldn't have thought it was funny.
True, it was.
All right, you've got a better sense of humor than I would have, for sure.
If nothing else, if we save one other person from having to go through what we've gone through, that's more the reason that we wanted to basically call you and help. My wife wrote a blog on her Facebook about it. You know, we're just trying to get the word out to people because, I mean, honestly, I bought houses before in the past. And all that done had, you know, the mortgage representative called me. It said, you know,
yeah, it's done. Right. When you're dealing with legitimate people, that's what happens. And they do legitimately lock you in verbally, and then they follow it up in writing. And you are right. You will help somebody out there today who's getting into this. But when we come back, I'm going to go and talk about the loan scam that I think is now starting to go on as interest rates jump up and people like you get caught. And why it is that you got caught. And I'm going to go detail that in just a moment. It's 49 minutes past the hour. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Link is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
It's 55 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time. We're on 11 to 1, so we're getting around to the end of the show. But you can find me online after the show is over at questions@thinklink.com. That's where you send questions, issues, comments, thoughts. Or you can actually just go and sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter at Glink. You can follow me on Pinterest. Follow me on G+. There's all kinds of ways to interact with me online all the time, which is fun. We want you to do that. So we had Richard on the line just a moment ago, and I want to talk for just a moment about how this scam actually works, because I think we're going to see more and more of it as mortgage interest rates continue to creep up. So years ago, I wrote a front page story for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, we're talking years, where people were not getting locked in, and the reason they were told they were locked in, so they thought they were locked in, but they really weren't locked in. And the reason they weren't locked in is because there was a little gamble that was going on where the lenders were betting mortgage interest rates would go down, and they would lock people in at what would then be a higher interest rate, thereby generating a bigger fee premium from the end lender who was going to buy the loan. And these service fee premiums could be significant. It could be thousands of dollars on a single loan. So every quarter of a point that the interest rate dropped and your buyer is at a higher rate, you're making more money. And so brokers would lose money when people locked in and then the mortgage interest rates zoomed up, right? Then they might lose money. And if they hadn't really locked you in, everybody would get caught and somehow your loan wouldn't go through. And then what happened to Richard would happen to you, where you would suddenly realize that you'd been taken and that nothing had been done and you didn't get it in writing and nobody was going to make good on it. I'm guessing that's really what happened to Richard. Mortgage interest rates jumped up so much over the past 2 weeks, the biggest jump in 26 years, and I think a lot of lenders who were betting they were going to go back down bet the wrong way. Those loan officers were betting with your money. What's the takeaway? Get it in writing. If you are going to apply for a loan and you lock in, you say to the lender, I want an email from you right now that says this loan is locked and it's locked at this rate, and I expect to see it in the next 15 minutes. When you do that, you are giving yourself a paper trail that's going to give you a leg to stand on. All right, 58 minutes past the hour. The music's playing. Our time is up. Be sure to tune in to the ThinkLink community online at thinklink.com. Send your questions to questions@thinklink.com. And be sure to join me next week as we wrap up another Elise Glenk Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Love this country. I'll talk to you next week. Asking me why.